It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Speed kills, doesn't it? That's what I want to talk about today. I was brainstorming ideas because obviously tomorrow is the start of rookie minicamp. Football in shorts, part one, if you will.
Right.
And I was thinking about who's going to be there tomorrow. And when I was reviewing the draft class, the rookie class, the supposed roster that we will get to know tomorrow on the South Side, I saw a lot of speed. I saw a lot of players that were added this offseason that are fast as all hell. Good afternoon, everybody. Good Thursday afternoon, May 9th, 2024. I heard a little bark in the back.
Yeah.
I think the doorbell came.
Maybe. Doorbell ringing? We'll see. We'll see. Grocery delivery is going to be on the way. So,
man, that was
the beauty of live YouTubing right here.
The beauty of grocery delivery, I think, is the real statement here. Like, hey, that's underrated, grocery delivery. My car's in the shop, so I thought about doing a little DoorDash or Uber Eats or what have you for
that
lunch.
That adds up, though.
And then I thought again, and I said, no, I don't want to pay more for the delivery than I do the food itself.
It adds up. And like typically grocery shopping is actually done. I'm a little old school when it comes to that. And also mainly it saves money, but yeah, it can be quite expensive, but it doesn't happen all the time.
Lori, that is not a sign of rich or poor. Do not mistake that. Honest with you, I think it's more valuable to go pick it up. I think the experience of ordering takeout is getting lost a bit nowadays. Like, you order it, you go pick it up, you get pizza delivery, right? We're so used to pizza delivery, but I like going into a pizzeria and picking out slices or getting my pie and then maybe hitting that little Coke machine on the side and picking up either a 2-liter or a can or whatever. I like doing that. I like the experience. I think a lot of the technology nowadays, before we do talk football, online shopping, right? Like, online shopping it's crazy now. But the mall in my hometown, Hermitage, Pennsylvania, just closed this past weekend. Like, that was the place where I grew up, like, walking the halls. I would get my hair cut there. Like, I would go to the video game store there. I would go to the Penny's and the Macy's and the, at one time, Kaufman's. But they just closed the doors to that very mall this past weekend. A sign of the times, a harsh sign of the times, I might add.
Okay, football.
Sure, if you'd like.
Couple things, because I see one thing. I really am not in the business of trying to... It's not my place to call out other people, other reporters, what other people report. That's not what I do, so I'm not going to say anything about anybody. But Steeler Lee brings up this rumor about Najee, the saying that he actually asked to have his fifth-year option declined because he wants to play elsewhere in 2025. That is not what I'm hearing. I'll leave it at that. I trust my source telling me that there's real potential for a long-term contract. Not saying that that's going to happen. Key word there is potential.
Sure.
Does not, I mean, we still have a whole summer to go. That is not what I'm hearing. So, yeah. This is where you have to trust where the information is coming from. So that's just the best I can say about that.
Even just hearing that kind of thing, that's not who Najee Harris is. Like, I know, you know, like with the post-game comments at Buffalo, for one, right? Talking about how there needs to be more, you know, this and that in the locker room. And I can understand how some in that building might take that the wrong way. But just like with Deontay Johnson, I think Deontay Johnson and Najee Harris both come from good places. I genuinely do. I think Deontay Johnson did all along when he was in Pittsburgh. We well documented Deontay Johnson's kind of growth as a off the field leader, as a locker room presence, as someone that kind of had to in that moment. Najee Harris is somewhat in a similar role, in my opinion.
So this really plays into, I don't remember if it was yesterday or the day before, whenever I said it and went off on a irritated tangent of being like, listen, watch out for rumors, because the rumor might pop up on Twitter or on the radio or whatever, it will be picked up by site aggregators. It will be picked up by all of the different websites and blogs that take every little thing that's said about the team, whether there's actual facts behind it or not. If it's something that can get a conversation, if it's something that can get your attention and get you to click on it just to see what the information is, then that's what they're going to do. And so if somebody reports something like this, all of the different ones, and one of them I don't mind calling out, Steeler Nation, like it's a complete blog site. Some people like think that it's like affiliated with the team. It's got the gold check on Twitter. That is not, no, steer clear. That is not a place to get news. And this is one of the reasons why, because they will pick up these type of reports and put them out there. And because these websites are so good at like doing all the necessary work to get the top hits on Google, there a lot of eyes are going to see this type of stuff. And so that's how it spreads like wildfire, spreads like a virus. It really, really does. So that's, anyway, that's not what I'm hearing. So that's all I got to say. And see, Lori asks about, what about the Bud Dupree news saying that the Steelers are in talks? Again, this is, where are you getting the information from? That's a report straight from Adam Schefter, one of the most trusted national reporters. When you're talking about national reporters, if you hear anything from Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport, typically there's a really good chance that there's at least some semblance of truth behind it. Typically.
And they're not, right, the only two, of course, but...
And no, there are other guys. Tom Pelissero is really good. There are a number of national reporters that you can trust. But then again, this is literally having talks with. This doesn't mean, oh, the Steelers are going to bring back Bud Dupree. This means there have been talks. And that might be the extent of it. The extent of it might have been Omar Khan calls up Bud Dupree's representation and says, hey, what do you guys think? What's the price tag look like? And then that's it. Mm-hmm. We don't know how far those talks have gone.
Yeah. I think we've had a lot of conversations on the show about media literacy more than once.
Oh, boy.
I'll continue to stress this. But it's regardless of where you're at or what you're looking for, I don't care if you're looking for information on the flood down the street or on the building that's on fire down the block or on your favorite football team or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I've always lived by this, even when I wasn't working in news. Always, 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 always start local. Always start local. The people that are in the building, much like myself, will be tomorrow. Yeah. Much like DK will be this weekend. Much like Amanda will be this weekend. Trust the people that are actually there. The people 100%. That are ingrained in the community. If I want political, and I'm not going to talk politics, of course.
No, we're
but
not.
But if I want political information, I don't go to any of the big news sites. I think you know what I'm talking about. I don't go to any of those. I go to local news TV stations, radio stations, newspapers. That's what I go to. I go local first because they're the ones that are boots on the ground there, just like we are. Yeah. I know how global our outreach is here at DK Pittsburgh Sports, and I'm very thankful for that.
But the
roots are here. I think that gets lost a little bit. The roots are right here. They're in Pittsburgh. The name DK Pittsburgh Sports, yes, it covers Pittsburgh sports, but it's rooted right here in Pittsburgh. So look, anytime you see, you know, there might be the name, like, you know, whatever Steelerblog.com, like that's fine. But that story or that aggregation, so to speak, could have been written by someone in his living room in Montana. No disrespect to the great people in the great state of Montana, but you know what I mean? Yeah. So again, as we get into the off season where, and we've gone through this already again, where just about anyone and anybody will post whatever they feel they can, you know, because content has to happen at some points. You got to be careful of what's news versus what's opinion versus what's fact. So there's my soapbox media literacy talk of the day.
So back to speed, the Steelers receivers, some names here, and I'm going to list out all these players, and I'm going to put their 40 yard dash times with them. Okay.
Or some dude in Texas. Sorry. Not for long.
Not for long.
Sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, but Joshua says, weren't we supposed to have guests today? Got moved, got bumped. We'll do it either tomorrow or early next week, but continue.
Hey, and by the way, some dudes in Texas don't have at least 1 year of experience covering the team. Boots on the ground.
In the facility. Yeah,
boots on the ground. Yeah. So
anyway.
And so anyway, and yeah, that's how I still have sources, by the way. I don't have, and that's the beauty of phones and cell phones and texting. And anyway, so George Pickens, 4.47. Okay. Good, okay. Decent speed.
Faster than me, certainly.
Van Jefferson, 4.39.
You could see he runs like a minivan.
Roman Wilson, 4.39.
No reaction to that?
No.
Okay.
Scotty Miller, 4.36.
Not bad.
Quez Watkins, 4.35.
It's Bowling Green's finest.
Scotty Calvin Miller. Austin, the third, 4.32.
That's pretty good.
So do you think the Steelers are after a certain type of receiver right now with what they've been doing?
I think what we've learned with Omar Khan over the last year and a half-ish, 2 years now, is that he has a certain type. And regardless of that's quarterback, wide receiver, running back, offensive line, etc., he has a certain type that he likes. And certainly this wide receiver room is very comparable with regards to speed. Now, obviously, speed within the wide receivers room is a big topic of discussion, but look at the draft pick of Peyton Wilson. Look at Troy Faltanu, how aggressive and how quick he is off the ball. Mm-hmm. Look at Ryan Watts and how he's able to play. So when it comes to the speed element and what the Steelers specifically did this offseason, right? Faltanu, Frazier, even to an extent. I know you can't really measure speed on offensive linemen, and that's not really as important, but they're still agile enough.
Yeah, athletic at the center position. Yeah. And then I think one position that we're even forgetting, and like I just brought up receivers, but inside linebacker, Patrick Queen, Peyton Wilson, like just those two guys alone, way faster. Deshaun Elliott on the back end, and then obviously Queen and Wilson in the middle on the second level. Like they got, and Dante Jackson on the outside, like they got faster. Like Dante Jackson to me is an upgrade over Levi Wallace, not a gigantic upgrade, but an upgrade nonetheless, and added speed. So yes, they got faster. No doubt about that. And that might just go to show that, like, listen, like, just because this team looks to be a team that's going to, you know, want to play the ground and pound game and want to be a very, very physical football team, set the tone physically, run the football, shove it down your throat. They also got a good amount of speed. And if there's anything that you can't coach, it's how fast guys can move their feet.
Richard says, hello from Italy. Well, ciao to you. That's amazing. Yeah. Welcome in. And look what they did last year, by the way, in the draft, right? Broderick Jones, Joey Porter Jr., Herbig, Benton. They got physical in last year's draft. Last offseason felt like the theme was physicality. Mm-hmm. Roberts, Holcomb, Samalo, that draft class, like Neal, that free agent and draft class felt like the theme was physical. This one felt like the theme was speed and trying to mesh and blend those two philosophies. And these are the two Omar Khan off seasons that we have to look at. Like, it's very clear, like, last offseason, they saw a need for physicality. They hit it hard. This offseason, it's clear they saw a need for speed. Not the movie. Mid-movies, at best. Mid-movies? Mid-movies? Can we agree?
Yeah. I mean, they were good action films for their time, but those type of movies don't age well.
No, which makes you wonder why there's 1,000 Fast and the Furious, but I digress. but that's what they went for. They addressed the desire for speed. How about that? Yeah. This offseason. And now you have this mixing of the both in the Omar Khan, I guess, regime, if you want to call it that. And I find that fascinating that they looked at these off seasons and kind of set a theme for it, it seems like, and then went for it. And they pretty much succeeded in both. Of course, last year's draft class, you can't really judge it after year one, but it looks good to start. But this one, on paper, all things considered, you broke down the Peyton Wilson film, you broke down the Frazier and the Faltanu and the Wilson. They all have speed. They all have that one trait in common.
Yeah, only two guys I haven't done any breakdown on so far are Logan Lee and Ryan Watts. And so, I've even not a full blown like deep dive, but you know, a little like intel on each of the five undrafted free agents. And so, it's interesting too, because you know, hiring Arthur Smith and knowing his track record both in Tennessee and Atlanta. Now Tennessee and Atlanta are a bit of a different situation, even for Arthur Smith. And not just because he was OC in Tennessee and head coach in Atlanta. But Atlanta, faster. Definitely a faster team compared to Tennessee, which Tennessee was a bit more big and physical. Like, just look at A.J. Brown. Look at Derrick Henry. Look at like some of the personnel that they had. And I think the Steelers have a good mix of both. You know what I'm saying? Like, you go off of that draft class last year, as you said, you know, a bit more physicality there, and then definitely faster this year. So I begin to kind of wonder, like, how is, again, this kind of brings me back to the same theme that I've been thinking, like, what exactly is Arthur Smith's offense going to look like? Right. We have a really good idea because of what he's done previously, what he's done in two seasons as an offensive coordinator and 3 years as a head coach. But what is it going to look like with Pittsburgh? Mm-hmm. Because it seems like Pittsburgh's got a good blend of both physicality and speed. And so I'm really, really curious. And Mr. CJ Jr. brings up Martavis Bryant available. Technically, yes, he's available, but this would all. It almost reminds me of the time that the Steelers brought back Plexico Burress. Remember that? That was like early 2010s that I think they brought him back. Oh. It was weird and clunky. It didn't seem to really fit. And like, he didn't make that big of an impact when he came back. It just seems like that would be the same type of move. Mm-hmm. Martavis Bryant's not going to come in and be a, he's not going to be a contributor like the way he was before. I mean,
think they're going to kick the tires on Martavis Bryant. I think that ship has long sailed for multiple reasons. And also, like, he's not the answer that they need at wide receiver two. Like that 1A in between George Pickens and Roman Wilson. He's just not that anymore, or never really was. But
No, he was back in the day, during his first stint with the Steelers, man. Like, that was a legitimate he was scary. He was like, you want to talk about a guy with potential that never fully lived up to it? He's right near the top of the list. Lori, I mean, the butt catch against the Bengals, I think it was. I mean, just the ability. I mean, he was so interesting, but he's not. Father Time's undefeated, man. Like he's just not the same guy he won't be the same guy. Like if the Steelers bring him back, he won't be the same guy that he was before. He won't.
I have a name that, like, okay, I see this name, Corey Davis, right? From Richard. Richard says Corey Davis is an intriguing name. I wonder what if the Chiefs are taking calls on Sky Moore. Like, that name just popped into my head. Like, obviously, Mike Tomlin's very familiar with him. For those that don't know, Mike Tomlin's very, very familiar with who Sky Moore is. Shadyside Academy's finest. Like, that's just, like, if we kick the tires on a Treylon Burks. Like, reclamation receivers like that, to me, are kind of interesting for the Steelers. Like, they're pretty fitting for the Steelers. And I'm not sitting here saying Sky Moore is the answer at wide receiver two or Treylon Burks is the answer at wide receiver two as well. But why not try to kick the tires on them in training camp? I think it's an elevated Hakeem Butler situation, certainly from last year, where there's a little more potential with a Sky Moore or a Treylon Burks, and they're not going to be expensive. But like we said this week multiple times, if they're going to solve that 1A or that wide receiver 2 problem / dilemma, then they're going to have to pay up for it in some ways. And yeah, CJ, they're probably, Kansas City's probably not ready to give up on Sky Moore, but, and especially with what's going on with Rashee Rice and his legal situation.
Dude.
But I mean, they got to look, right? You can always look, you can always call, you can always check in. Like, it's why the tires were kicked on Tyler Boyd before the draft. And then ultimately that doesn't work out. So
I think, and this is just where I'm at. I'm going to look over at my calendar here. It's May 9th. Okay. We're still in the first half of the month. I am, like, mentally from this point on putting wide receiver talk completely on the back burner. It's just going completely away. I almost don't want to even talk about receivers anymore, just because we could sit here and break down anything ad nauseum about wide receiver two. It really doesn't matter until the Steelers actually do something with anybody of significance. It really does not sound like the 49ers are in any way going to trade any of their guys. So nix those off. Water was poured on the Cortland Sutton stuff. The only thing that I can say from here on out is wait until June 1st or post June 1st when teams can either cut or trade players and be able to save cap space on those guys. And until then, just put it on the back burner. Don't think about it. You can drive yourself crazy with the stuff. I'm tired of talking about it. I don't see anything happening for the rest of this month. Because anybody that they're going to add is going to be a veteran guy. And the main people that really need to be able to be there right now are everybody else who's there. The only position that I would like to see now might be a slot corner, that, you know, have them address that before, like, OTAs begin and stuff like that. Because right now, like, the offense is getting installed, I'm thinking primarily offensively here. The offense is getting installed. All the rookies are here. When they get to OTAs, you know, if you bring in a veteran receiver post June 1, it's not the end of the world. It's not like they're going to have to catch up that much. Plus, the offense really doesn't get fully installed until training camp. Mm-hmm. So there's still time to learn the playbook, time to learn all the language and cadences and everything like that. Which, by the way, if you want to know anything about how that's broken down, I put it in the Steelers feed earlier. Dan Orlovsky put a 5-minute video on Twitter just explaining just a teeny tiny portion of how offenses are installed. It's fascinating. So look into that.
There you go. And yeah, as Cody says, nothing's probably happening anyway until June 1st. You know, that second cut deadline, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So
DK Metcalf being the
right,
the main name that's being thrown around there. So,
right.
Yeah.
And yeah, the asking price for him likely will come down on that as the Big Lebowski. Dude, tomorrow's already the 10th. Good, great movie. Phenomenal movie. That's one I've seen. Big Lebowski. That's one I've seen. among the very few I think that I've seen.
I will say of all the like movies that people need to see in their lifetime, you have a lot that you need to watch, but Big Lebowski is one of them. And I wouldn't even put that near the top of the list, but it's definitely a movie that people need to see.
It's phenomenal.
You know, it's hilarious.
I told
Jeff
you,
Bridges is so good.
I told you I am watching through The Office for the first time.
Yeah.
My girlfriend for the, I don't know, umpteenth time. We just watched the Benihana Christmas episode.
Good one.
the competing parties, Ed Helms taking Andy take and Dwight taking Michael Scott and Jim to Benihana.
Yeah, that's that.
The third season is so chaotic; it's unbelievably chaotic.
The second season is my favorite one, but season three is really good too.
Off the rails.
Season four might be my second favorite, but the one thing that sucks about season four is that it was shorter because that was the year of the writer's strike.
Right.
Back then. So the fourth season was cut short, but the first four episodes of the season were like the hour long back when like network TV was still a major thing. So they had like hour long episodes. And so Lori, yes, I have seen The British Office.
I haven't, but I can imagine.
Also phenomenal. And It just goes to show you just how good the American version was, because the American version had such a high bar to live up to.
Yeah.
Because the British one was so good. And yeah, but we can talk about TV shows another time.
I don't know how I don't know how these actors and actresses don't break with Steve
Steve
Carell's doing his thing. I know, but when Steve Carell's doing his thing, like completely break. We just watched the Prison Mike episode as well.
Oh yeah.
I would have lost it if I was in that room with him when he was doing that whole bit. I would have lost it. I don't know how everybody kept a straight face during that scene.
So it's funny because like Bob, and this is in the fourth season, by the way, Bob brings up Dinner Party as the most cringe inducing episode of The Office. Now, I agree that it's the second most cringy. It's also my absolute favorite episode of the entire show. It is so good. To me, the most cringy episode of Scott's Tots. That doesn't come up for another few seasons for you.
Man.
Scott's Tots is, I mean, it is painful to watch. So painful. Oh, it's so bad. Anyway, but no, Dinner Party is phenomenal.
I don't like where that's going already from the title. I don't like where that's going.
Scott's Tots or Dinner Party?
Yeah, well, I've actually, believe it or not, before we started watching the series from the start, my girlfriend was like, you need a little appetizer. So we actually watched the Dinner Party episode first and then started with 1-1, which, to be honest with you, was a good idea because I was like, yeah, I need to see this. I get it. And now I'm hooked and I'm fully invested. As Bob said, that's what she said. Yeah. What a day. Anything else on your mind that you want to add before we get out of here, Chris?
I'm just excited that tomorrow is the first real activity, like real football activity. I understand it's still football in shorts, but when you wake up tomorrow, you're going to be able to go to wherever you get your Steelers news, which it should be dkpittsburghsports.com. that's where it should be. But you can go hear DK Pittsburgh Sports and get actual football content. You know, be able to watch videos of rookies taking part in individual drills. Getting to see rookies like handle media scrums for the first time. And It feels like it doesn't quite have that first day of school feel to it. That to me, that's more training camp. Like training camp definitely has more of that first day of school feel to it. Mm-hmm. It's almost like that. It's almost like this time of the year feels like the
summer school. It's literally summer school.
Well, it's like that. Yeah, but it almost feels like the orientation that you go to like a semester of college or something like that.
An orientation.
Yeah, like that. That's kind of what it feels like. You talk about freshman orientation. You want to talk like this is literally the equivalent of it at the NFL level. It's rookie minicamp. It's like that first little notch in like, okay, football activity is actually on its way. because like once rookie minicamp is over, it's like we're less than 2 weeks from the beginning of OTAs. And then after that, it's like 3 weeks later, it's you know, mandatory minicamp. And then a month after that, it's training camp. Like we're almost there, guys.
It's kind of scary how quickly the off season goes.
I know. I need to get up there. I'm like, by the way, I will not be on the show tomorrow, whether we have a show or not. I will not be on the show tomorrow because good news. I think the roof's finally getting installed or getting replaced tomorrow.
There you go.
Which means house can probably be on the market like next week.
Good.
So
look at that.
It can happen. Yeah. About a month late, but whatever, man.
It's happening at least.
We'll get it done. So
we can't wait to have you up here. Yeah. If there is a show tomorrow, it will be me and maybe Amanda for her introduction. But honestly, it depends on how things go on the South side, timing wise, workflow wise, all of that.
Yeah.
So can't guarantee a show tomorrow. So with that said, my final thought, I suppose, is happy Mother's Day to all who are listening.
Of course.
And we can't do this life without you. Don't get literal about that. Like, literally, we can't do life without you. My mom is the best. No questions asked. I won the argument already, and I'm very thankful for my mom. Mom, if you're watching, and I know that you are, look away for a second. Look at the card I got her. All right, Mom, you looking away? Look at the card. Look at the card I found for her.
Nice.
And it does say for Mom.
So you have to do a dad joke for Mother's Day.
Exactly. From her son.
Mark, no, it did not. All this rain definitely did not help. That is the reason why we're about a month late on this. Well, not the only reason, but it's one of the main reasons. Texas decided to turn into Seattle when it came to climate. It's not been happy. But yes, I also reiterate that. Happy Mother's Day. One of my favorite weekends of the year.
Happy Mother's Day to your wife.
Yes. So one of the main things that I'm so excited about her post Navy life is getting to spend my son is 10 years away from graduating high school, which to me, that's just, I don't even want to think about. And so like the next 10 years, at least, you know, plus obviously, you know, my daughter, you know, she will get more and more time with them. No drill weekends anymore where she has to spend a weekend away once a month, no annual trainings to worry about. I'm excited about the more and more time she gets because I can tell you right now, my wife lives to be those kids' mom. So Mother's Day is a phenomenal time to celebrate everything that the women in our lives do. So
100%. That's a great place to end on. We may be back tomorrow. We'll find out. We'll see. It'll be me.
I won't be.
It'll be me and Amanda or just me solo, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. If you see a show at 3 tomorrow, then we're having a show. If you don't, then we're not having a show. There's the best answer I could give you as of right now.
Yeah, I literally could not do a show here because of all the noise that would be going on. I mean, they're replacing the roof.
It's going to be like the scene of Home Improvement, literally.
Yeah, I'm going to spend the majority of the day away from the house just because I will drive myself crazy.
There you go. Well, enjoy your free time wherever you're spending it.
Well, I'll be doing errands because I have to get do last minute stuff to get the house ready, because if we're going to try to list it next week,
of course,
that means like probably a lot of errand running.
Of course.
So
good luck. We'll talk to you all soon, or whatever your favorite hardware store is. No free ads. We'll talk to you all soon. He's Chris. I'm Corey. This has been the Southside Beat on a Thursday. Have a good day, everybody. Cheers.